Hi, Christ Church, and welcome to our live stream. We know these times are hard, and we really want to be a blessing to you. Mm-hmm. So we're so happy that we get to do this together.
Yes, we are. We want to say thank you so much. Because of your generosity, we've been able to help a lot this week, and I just want to share some of the things we've been able to. First, we've been able to pack up food, over 500 bags, and hand those out to our Food for Kids program so the kids have food over the weekends. We also set up a station in Old Brooklyn to have foods ready to go there. We've also been in contact with some of our seniors to see how we can be a blessing to them in this time, and we're going to continue to keep in touch with them throughout the weeks. We've also been able to donate hundreds of dollars worth of food to our Olmsted Community Center that we're partnering with. And we've also been able to help some of our families that have been laid off during this time with grocery carts. So thank you so very much for your generosity. It makes such a difference.
Olmsted Community Center is helping families and kids during this time by giving them food. If you are able and interested in helping, they're looking for non-perishable goods. Some examples are macaroni and cheese, anything snacked for the kids individually, like fruit snacks, goldfish, juice boxes, anything non-perishable.
That's right. We're also going to be helping one of our schools. We want to partner with them, and they've asked us for hygiene kits for the kids and the families that go. So if you're able, we would like to ask for toothbrushes, toothpaste, hand soap, bars of soap. If you have toilet paper to spare, so we will be putting some of those bags together this weekend. You can deliver all of this to the church. We're going to have our doors open Saturday from 9 to 1. You can just open up the front doors and leave them right in the foyer. And we're also going to be open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 in the morning to 7 p.m. at night. You'll be able to drop those off.
At our Columbia Station campus.
That's right. There are two ways to give. The first one is on our Christ Church Ohio website. You can give on the Giving tab there, and also you can give through our Christ Church Ohio app.
We're so happy that you were able to tune in today. We hope that you enjoy our service. God bless.
Good morning, friends. Thank you so much for joining us here. It is our first ever live stream in Old Brooklyn, and I feel incredibly privileged to be here with you this morning. I know everything is changing so quickly around us, but I'm so thankful to God for the technology that we have right now and the ability that we can still be together, even though we're together virtually. I would way rather be with you in our building in Old Brooklyn. I'd rather be talking to you and praying with you and hugging on you, but this is what we have, and we are going to make the best of it. I am so thankful for you tuning in. I'm thankful for this time that we're going to be together, and I'm going to pray to get us started this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of this morning. I thank you for the gift of your presence here in our hearts. I pray that you would be at work in us and through us, Father, and you would shine the light of Jesus Christ into our minds, into our hearts, and you would guard us in him. I pray that you would fill us with your hope, fill us with your courage, fill us with your peace, that we might be the genuine lights you've called us to be in your community. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So my family and I have been watching the show America Ninja Warrior, and we absolutely love it. If you're looking for something to binge watch on, it's amazing. It's fun. You'll love it. It's high speed, entertaining all the way through. And one of our favorite seasons is where they go ninja versus ninja. And these teams of ninja warriors, there's three people per team. They actually go neck and neck and compete on these obstacle courses against each other. Now, these incredible athletes do these ridiculous feats, these impossible whip their body around, climb up things that are just over the top. They run up these incline steps. They leap across and swing on ropes and climb cargo nets. They use their hands to pull them across bridges and steps. And they climb up and they climb down and they run across floating tiles. And there's a flying shelf grab where they have to literally swing their body like 7 feet across from pole to pole. And they have like this little bitty ledge that they have to hang on to and then do it again. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And it all ends with a 14-foot warped wall. They have to get to the top, hit the buzzer. Whoever hits the buzzer first, they win. It's hilarious. It's fun. We love it. They have such endurance and strength to do these what seems like impossible obstacles, and they do it with speed and ease, and some of them are so good, it doesn't even look hard. It seems like any of us could do it. So as we watch them competing against each other, we're literally on the edge of our seats, like as if somehow me watching at home, I can urge them on to get to the end. And then we all have to decide as a family, we try to pick like which obstacles do we think we can do? Because of course, sitting at home on my couch, I'm totally a ninja warrior. I could totally do these obstacles and I'm super tough. So we all go through and we pick, and like some of them, I'm like, okay, like I could run up those tiles or I could swing across a rope. But then other of them, like there's no way I'm flinging my body 7 feet and grabbing onto it. It's just, I would be in the water and I would fall. And we laugh and we try to decide like who could do what and what we could possibly do. Now, wouldn't it be just great if real life worked like this? Like life was the obstacle course laid out before us and we could see it out clearly. Like here's the beginning and here's the end and here are the pieces we've got to do along the way. And we could plan our strategy and how we're going to like jump over what gaps and what obstacles we're going to work our way through. And we could see it before it happened. But instead, we have real life where we're caught by surprise and feel unprepared for some of the obstacles that we have to face. I mean, who knew that one of the largest obstacles we'd be facing right now would be a pandemic spreading all over the world? Not just locally are we having to make hard decisions, but our country is making hard decisions. Different continents, all these countries working together, figuring out what to do next. I mean, who would have thought just 2 weeks ago that things would be changing so quickly and so rapidly all around us? And every day the obstacles seem to shift a little bit. We're not quite sure what's going to happen next, and we're trying to kind of run and catch up and never sure what to expect when we wake up in the morning and what's going to be closed next and what's going to be unavailable in the time. With so many things closing and so many things changing, there almost can be a sense of foreboding. Like we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like we've kind of lost some of the control we used to have over our day-to-day lives. And like chaos is just, it's waiting to happen. It's kind of threatening around the corner about what it's going to do. And it sometimes feels like in moments like this that worry can be a constant companion, and like anxiety is just fighting for control of our hearts and our minds, and fear is really loud and persistent. And even when we might turn the volume down on it a little bit, social media gives us something to be afraid of, or we turn the news on or read the next article or the numbers start going up of who's gotten sick, and it feels like fear is so loud and persistent. And while these feelings are real, what we have to remember in times just like this is our feelings are not the only things that are real. And what happens is a lot of us tend to think that everything starts with our feelings. How we feel starts to direct and dictate what we do. So how I feel leads to how I act and the choices I make, and that kind of shapes who I am and my identity. And because I'm afraid, I'll start making decisions based off of the fear, or worry kind of is in control of what happens next, or our actions kind of shape then who we are. But I love our friend Eric Greitens in his book reminds us that's not how it has to be. It doesn't have to be feelings and then actions and then identity. Instead, we start with identity. Our identity says, I decide who am I going to be first. And then based on my identity, I act that way. So based on the person I've chosen, I've decided to be, the values that I say matter the most, these are the actions that I take. And then what ends up happening is our actions shape the way that we feel. If I want to feel different, I have to act different. I don't typically feel my way into acting different, but I can act my way into feeling different. And it starts with saying, who am I first, which leads to the next step. We can't always control what obstacles are going to come up next and the things that we're going to face, but we always have control over who am I going to be when I face them. And I'm going to allow the decision of my identity to shape what I do next. And then as we have these actions and these decisions and these choices, it starts to decide and control how we feel. So I want to give us some ideas today to kind of really lean into that and say, how do we do this together? And we're going to look together at what Paul says in his letter to his friends in Philippians chapter 4. He says in Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He says, in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I always love these do not commands because I always have to ask, like, why do they feel the need to tell us, right? Like, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Because we do. We will be anxious. We will get worried. We all do it. These feelings happen to even the best of us. And what happens is the fear leads to anxiety, and the anxiety leaves us feeling scattered and in pieces, and our mind is all over the place. And there's so many things to worry about and so many things to stress over and to become distracted by, and it leaves us feeling tired and worn out. It increases our trouble. It doesn't lessen it. And if we're being honest, all this worry and anxiety and fear, it robs us of our joy, just like it squeezes the air from our lungs, like we don't even know how to catch our breath. It squeezes out the peace and joy from our hearts. Anxiety is absolutely in opposition to peace. We cannot feel at peace while anxiety is in control. And if there's one thing that we're really, really good at as human beings is our ability to worry. We are good at worrying. There are lots of things for us to choose from. And in the absence of having something to worry about, we'll find something to worry about. Have you ever been here? Like, your mind won't ease up and you can't shut off your mind. And what ends up happening is, you know what? Like, I'm just going to let it all go. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to rest. And your mind's like, no, you should probably wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you should probably, you know, you don't need sleep. You don't need to be resting right now. Like, you should be awake. And while you're awake at 4 o'clock in the morning and you can't do anything about anything, you should just let your mind go again and again and again with the never ending cycle of everything that's hard and everything that's bad and all of the what ifs that can run through your imagination. And Paul says, don't do that. We all can. We're all capable of it. But don't do that. Instead, let me give you something else to try. So Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, if you've ever tried to tell yourself to, like, stop worrying before, like, usually what happens is, like, I am not going to worry about this today. Well, now I've told myself what to worry about. Like, I can't stop thinking about it, right? Like, the second I say, like, I'm not going to think about that or be afraid of that, like, I instantly start thinking about it. I can't just stop worrying. I have to replace it with something else. I can't just stop being afraid. I have to transition it and use something else in its place. So what Paul says is, I want you to replace it with something healthy like prayer. Now, typically, the problem we face is when we try to replace those uneasy feelings that we get from fear and anxiety and worry, we don't typically pick healthy things. Usually, we're leaning towards, like, the unhealthy things, which is why we stress eat and binge drink and we overspend on our credit cards and we numb the bad feelings with something else. And what happens is we think it's going to make us feel better, but it doesn't. We try to turn off the bad and replace it with something good, but we feel worse because of it. I love Brené Brown, how she said, when we're anxious, disconnected, vulnerable, alone, feeling helpless, the booze and the food and the work and the endless hours online feel like comfort, but in reality, they are only casting long shadows over our lives. She calls these things shadow comfort because what happens is they come and they go and they do not last and they leave an unhealthy long shadow in our life. So Paul's saying, instead of that, let's replace worry and anxiety and fear with something healthy like prayer. Instead of the shadow comforts that we want to reach for in times when we don't like how we feel and the tension is so big we don't know how to ease it, what are healthy practices that we can incorporate into our life instead of the shadow comfort, the unhealthy things we go to? Paul says, replace it with prayer. So instead of feeling anxious about everything, don't do that. Instead, pray about everything. We get to set up a new pattern in our life that disrupts the fear. We get to say, I'm not going to let worry be in control of me. I'm going to interject when anxiety starts to take over. And Paul says we do that by turning to God and we pray. Now, here's the incredible thing about prayer. We just get to simply go to God with what's in our heart. I love C.S. Lewis said, we lay before him what's in us, not what ought to be in us. a lot of times we get tripped up with prayer because we feel intimidated, like maybe we don't have the right things to say or the right things in us to take to God, and what we're bringing to Christ maybe isn't the best. But here's what Paul's telling us, like, we really just get to go to God with everything. He doesn't say only pray about these things. He says pray about everything. I don't have to be guilty that I'm afraid. I can take that fear to God. I don't have to feel shame that worry is crowding my heart. I can take that worry to God. I don't have to be upset about what's in me that I don't want to be in me. This is the place where I get to bring those things and say honestly to God, this is in me and I don't like it and I don't want to stay here, but it's there. We don't have to hide. We can be honest with God where we are and how we feel. And we get to take these things and just lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ and ask him for help. And so what Paul gives us is an alternative to this exhausting habit of worry that we have. He gives us the option of praying about everything instead. And here's what we know about God. We know that God promises he hears us when we cry out to him. He promises that he is with us when our hearts are troubled. God promises us that he will not leave us or forsake us, no matter how afraid we are. So what prayer does is it allows us to shift our focus from the things that we are worried about, the things that are out of our control, and it shifts our focus to something else. So before that anxiety train takes off and goes out where I can't control it, I get to stop. I get to consider. I get to think about Christ and focus on him instead. And in these times, prayer becomes our reminder that we are not in this alone, that we get to turn to God and God will be with us. And so we pray to God what's in our hearts. We don't have to feel like there's something that should be there and pray through it. We just simply get to meet God where we are and take him what we have. And then Paul also says we can pray with thanksgiving. We pray what's in our heart, but then we also practice gratitude. Gratitude is an incredible practice that helps us, again, push back against worry and anxiety and fear, and it's a tool we use when our hearts feel vulnerable and fear is setting in. But gratitude is also a practice that compounds on itself. It's one thing to one day say, I'm thankful for this, and then never think about it again. It's easy to forget about it. I can't tell you what I said at Thanksgiving when we went around the table and said the things that we were thankful for. I mean, I probably said family because it's like my go-to answer, but I don't even remember specifically. Instead, a practice of gratitude is every single day I'm practicing what I'm going to say I'm thankful for. And what I'm doing is I'm building the practice into my life of looking for things to be grateful for. We see what it is that we're looking for, right? My heart sees what it's looking for. And if I'm only looking for what's wrong and what's unfair, that's what I'm going to see. Look, there's a lot of things that we could list out that are unfair right now, and there are a lot of things that we could talk about that we don't like and we wish they would be different. But there are also, even in those things, right now things we can say what we're grateful for, and we train our hearts to start looking for the things that we're grateful for. We are in a different time, and things are changing, and circumstances are moving, but even in these days, even when all of these things are happening, we can look, our eyes can see things to be grateful for. I'm grateful for the sounds of my daughters laughing right now. It's a delightful sound. And you know what? They would have been at school and I wouldn't have gotten to hear that same sound. And I'm grateful for the moments that we're being silly together and the time that we have to go on walks and be outside and run around and do things we normally wouldn't do. There are things, even if they're small, if we look for them, they're there. And we train our hearts to practice gratitude again and again and again. And then we turn these gratitudes into thank you moments with God. God, here's what I'm thankful for. God, here's what I'm grateful in my heart for. God, thank you for letting me experience this, see this, hear this, be a part of this. We turn the focus on what we're grateful for in a thanksgiving prayer to God, and we push back against the worry and the fear by turning our hearts to gratitude. So here's two things I want to give you right now that you can do every single day. The first one is you can pray about everything. And the second one is you can practice gratitude. Every day, I want to encourage you to try these two things. Create time to pray every single day. Lay out your heart to Christ. Take him what's going on. Just pour out where you're at and talk about what you're experiencing. Look at your day. What time can you set apart every single day to be with him? But then pray your way through the day, right? Because when Paul says pray about everything, there's a lot of things that happen from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. And I want to have special devoted time. But then I want to say, as this happens, God, help me to focus on what's right. God, overwhelm my fear with your faith. God, help me to feel you even in this. Pray our way through the day. Every moment that worry creeps in, every moment that fear is just fighting for our heart and our mind, we turn to God in prayer. When something is overwhelming or scary, we pray. When I'm worried about the people that I love, I pray. When we hear another statistic about what's happening, we pray. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we practice it day after day after day. And then we find time to practice gratitude. Every day, make it a goal to say, I'm going to start off my day by saying three things that I'm grateful for that happened to me the day before. And in the morning, sit down and write them down. Get yourself a journal, whether it's like paper or you can do it on your phone, start a note or an email or wherever you like to store it. Every day, journal these things. This is what I'm praying my way through. These are the things that I'm grateful for. And turn them into the prayers, the things that you're thinking about with God. And here's the truth. Many of our days are looking very different. And things that we maybe normally wouldn't have time for, we can make time differently and use it to practice things that will help us focus our hearts in God. We get better through practice. We get better at praying by praying. We get better at gratitude by practicing gratitude. And every day, these things help us shift our focus to God. And look at what Paul tells us what happens when we do this. When we pray about everything, he says in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The promise of prayer is that we find peace in God. And it's the kind of peace that we cannot find anywhere else. It's a kind of peace that is steadfast and enduring, and it can't be taken from us. It's a peace that is fixed not on the things happening around us, but the assurance that we have in God that he is in control. That not only is God in control, but God is wise and he is good and he is at work making all things whole. Even the messy things, even the broken things, even the things that scare us and rattle us, God is in control. I don't find peace in the circumstances of life. In fact, it's the day-to-day things, the struggles, the realities that we face that most times wear us down and just squeeze the peace and well-being out of us. This peace only comes in connection to Jesus Christ. And I love this incredible image that Paul gives us. He says, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And the imagery he's using here is almost a military guard who's ready to prevent a hostile invasion, a city from being overtaken by an enemy. They have to get through this guard before they can get into the city, before they can get to the people there. Except what happens now is our hearts, our minds are the cities. And the guard at our gate is Jesus Christ. The enemy trying to invade is worry and anxiety and fear. But our guard, Jesus Christ, is standing ready to guard our minds and guard our hearts. What prayer does is it reconnects us to Jesus Christ, that he is there guarding our hearts and mind. And it doesn't mean we don't ever worry again. It doesn't mean we won't ever feel anxiety or fear. But what it does mean is when these moments happen, we have a resource in Jesus Christ. We have a guard at our gates who cares for our hearts and cares for our minds, and he's able to help protect them. Worry cannot take over when it has to go toe-to-toe with Jesus Christ. Fear can't take control when it has to compete with the truth and reality of who Christ is. Anxiety has zero chance of winning when it has to go up against our mighty guard, Jesus Christ. Every time we pray, we are putting a guard on our hearts and our minds because we're remembering who Christ is and what he can do. we're remembering that the one who overcame the greatest fear and claimed victory on the cross, he stands ready to protect our hearts and guard our minds. I love a line I heard this week: fear is a feeling, but afraid is a choice. We're more than just what we feel. Yes, we have these feelings, and yes, they are real, but we all have the ability to claim our identity in Jesus Christ. And he promises that every single one of us are more than conquerors. We can conquer the things that we come up against because of the love we have in Christ Jesus. I saw a wonderful video this week. It happened some years ago. A man in Perth, Australia, was getting on a subway train when he slipped and his leg fell into the gap that's between the platform and the subway train. His leg got stuck in the gap, and as it's happening, the man behind him sees it happening. He kind of starts waving down, and the workers come over. They stop the train. They try to get him out, but he's stuck, and he can't get out. So when they can't get him out of this gap, the passengers from the train, they start lining up against the subway train to literally push the subway train over enough that they can just pull this guy out. Now, it's absolutely ridiculous because dozens and dozens and dozens of people come running over. They start pushing the train. One guy at one point, he actually like runs really far back and like runs up to get momentum and is like running in to shift this subway car long enough to pull the man. All these people rush in to help. They are able to create enough space to pull the guy out. They pull him out. They rescue him. He was able to walk away without injury. Now, we can't always see the gaps and where they're going to be. We can't always predict the obstacles that we're going to come up against. But here's what we do know. No matter the obstacle, no matter how large the gap, we have an awesome Jesus Christ, and he is with us. He's for us, and we do not face the obstacles and the gaps alone. He's here, ever present and ready to guard our hearts and our minds and to walk us through these times. The more of the peace of Christ that reigns in our hearts and in our minds, the better able we are to share the peace of Jesus Christ in the world. The better able we are to be lights in dark and troubling times. The ones who are called to be out sharing the compassion and hope of Jesus Christ. And here's the truth. We have friends falling in the gaps right now. And they need men and women just like us who will band together to help. Friends, when we work together this way, there's nothing that we cannot do. Fear doesn't get to win. Worry doesn't get to have the final say because the peace of God is guarding our hearts and mind, and we are an unstoppable force when we unite together in the name of Jesus Christ because there is nothing our awesome God cannot do. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray, Father, when we are confronting the fears and the worries that trouble our hearts day after day, that you would help us to replace our worry and focus on you instead. I pray, Father, that we would find time to pray about everything that we face day after day after day. I pray, Father, that you would replace the anxieties with the peace of Jesus Christ, that his peace would rule in our heart, that our faith, our confidence in you would not be shaken. I pray, Father, that you would help us to rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and to help and love and show the compassion of all that you've called us to do in these times. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.